What if you could trade away your regrets? In Samantha Soto Yambao's enchanting novel, Water Moon, this tantalizing possibility becomes reality through a mysterious pawn shop hidden behind a popular Tokyo ramen restaurant. This mesmerizing tale weaves Japanese folklore with quantum physics, creating a story that has captivated readers worldwide since its release. Celebrities like Reese Witherspoon have praised its magical blend of science and fantasy, while critics have hailed it as this generation's The Time Traveler's Wife. Beyond its commercial success, the novel has sparked philosophical discussions about choice, fate, and the weight of regret in our lives. Drawing on her Filipino-Japanese heritage, Yambao crafts a story that resonates across cultures, inviting readers to question what they would trade away if given the chance. Hidden behind a bustling ramen restaurant in Tokyo's Asakusa district lies an extraordinary pawn shop where the currency isn't gold or jewels, but something far more valuable: human choices. 21-year-old Ishikoa Hana has inherited this mysterious business from her father Toshio, who has just retired. Unlike ordinary pawn shops, theirs serves clients who stumble in unexpectedly, always confused about how they arrived. These lost souls carry burdens of regret, roads not taken, loves abandoned, opportunities missed that have haunted them for years. The pawn shop operates on a simple premise. Clients can trade away their most painful choices in exchange for freedom from regret. The payment is always the same: a silk-wrapped box containing gyokuro, the highest grade of tea. Yet each person experiences this tea differently, tasting their unique flavor of freedom. The pond choices manifest as luminous birds kept in wooden cages within a magical vault that expands and contracts as needed. One such client is Takeda Izumi, an elegant woman who enters the shop believing it's the ramen restaurant. She carries coins in a red leather purse, bus fare she never used to meet a man named Junichiro years ago. This abandoned choice glows with extraordinary blue light, unlike any Hana has seen before. Toshio explains that choices radiate light from all their contained possibilities, and this particular one would have sent powerful waves in every direction had Izumi taken that bus. What makes this pawn shop truly remarkable is the danger it represents. If a caged choice bird escapes, it would fly back to the moment it was made, resetting time itself. Everything would change. Forgotten stories written, lost lovers found, paths not taken, suddenly available. This delicate balance between past and present, choice and fate, forms the central tension of the narrative, asking us, what would you trade away if you could? And what might be the cost of such freedom? The morning after Toshio's retirement celebration, Hana awakens to find the pawn shop ransacked and her father missing. Among the chaos, she discovers her mother's old glasses near the doorway and a shattered birdcage in the vault with a Hanafuda card depicting the full moon. These aren't random elements of destruction, but carefully placed clues. Her father has staged this chaos and disappeared deliberately. The timing couldn't be worse. In 3 days, terrifying collectors, called the Shiikuin, creatures who wear no masks and emit the stench of rusting metal and decaying flesh, will arrive to collect the pawned choices. As the pawn shop's new owner, Hana is responsible for this turnover, a duty she's been preparing for her entire life. Into this chaos walks Minatozaki Keishin, a physicist who mistakes the pawn shop for the ramen restaurant. When he notices Hana's bleeding foot, he insists on helping despite her reluctance. His touch, the first time she's felt someone from the outside world, sends unexpected electricity through her veins. Hana's world expands exponentially with Keishin's arrival. He represents everything she's never experienced: freedom, choice, the unpredictability of a life not mapped by fate. When she reveals her father is missing, Keishin offers to help, and they settle the matter with a coin toss. Heads, he leaves. Tails, she explains what happened. The coin shows Tails, beginning their extraordinary journey together. This setup brilliantly establishes the novel's central themes: the weight of duty versus the allure of choice, the boundaries between worlds, and how a single moment can alter everything. Through Hana's eyes, we see the pawn shop as both sanctuary and prison, a place where others find freedom from their regrets while she remains bound by her predetermined fate. Kayshen's arrival represents the first real choice she might make for herself, if she dares. When Hana takes Kayshen through a pond in the pawn shop's backyard, they emerge in a place she calls Isekai, another world rendered entirely in black ink on paper. This is just the first of many impossible realms they'll traverse in their search for Hana's father and the truth about her mother's fate. Each new environment reveals more about the nature of Hana's world. At the Whispering Temple, a massive structure made of red wax, they discover her father's prayer, "Help me find her." This shocks Hana, who believed her mother died years ago. In the village above a sea of clouds, they encounter vendors selling bottles of time, minutes salvaged from those lost at sea. At the Museum of Education, origami paper cranes contain pivotal moments that changed history. 15 seconds from a Titanic crewmaster who forgot to hand over keys to binoculars, costing 1,500 lives, or 13 minutes that changed history when Hitler left early before a bomb exploded. The world-building here is extraordinary, blending Japanese folklore with philosophical concepts about time, fate, and memory. Each realm operates by its own rules, yet connects to the central mystery. When rain falls on Hana's skin, intricate blue tattoos begin to glow, a map of her predetermined fate etched by the Horishi, tattoo artist, when she was just a month old. These tattoos reveal that Hana is betrothed to Haruto, the only tattoo artist in this world, whose ink might reveal whether Hana's mother is truly alive. What makes these fantastical elements work is how they serve as physical manifestations of the novel's themes. The tattoos represent predetermined fate. The origami cranes embody how small moments can change history. The sea of clouds illustrates the nebulous boundary between worlds. Through these vivid settings, Yambao creates a meditation on choice disguised as fantasy adventure. The most profound revelation comes when Hana explains the dark truth about the pawn shop. They don't just take choices, but pieces of souls. The birds in their vault are fragments of clients' souls, which the Shikuin collect and transfer into the skin of Hana's world's inhabitants through the Horishi's ink. "We take your souls because we don't have our own," Hana confesses, describing her world as nothing but an infestation of ticks. This parasitic relationship between worlds transforms our understanding of the pawn shop's purpose and raises the ethical stakes of the narrative. At its heart, Water Moon explores the tension between predetermined fate and free will. Hana has lived her entire life believing her path was set, her future as pawn shop owner, her marriage to Haruto, even the glowing blue tattoos that map her destiny on her skin. When Kayshen shields her from rain that makes these tattoos visible, she sees them not as beautiful, but as grotesque scars that mark her inescapable destiny. This predetermined fate extends beyond Hana. We learn that Haruto was born without a soul, one of the soulless children considered monsters and buried alive by the Shikuin. To save him, Toshio sacrificed part of his own soul, giving Haruto enough life to live just 1 year with Hana. This bargain bound Haruto's fate to Toshio's, creating a complex web of obligation and sacrifice. The novel asks profound questions about agency. If our paths are predetermined, do our choices matter? If we're bound by duty and fate, can we ever truly be free? These questions become increasingly urgent as Hana and Kayshen's connection deepens. Their attraction represents everything the system forbids: spontaneity, choice, deviation from the predetermined path. When they visit the Horishi to learn about Hana's mother, Kayshen impulsively offers to learn his own fate in exchange for information. As the Horishi begins tattooing him, Hana interrupts, creating a puddle portal and pushing him through it. She cannot bear to see him sacrifice his freedom of choice to help her. Later, we learn the Horishi had begun tattooing Hana's name on his wrist, their fates intertwined despite the impossibility of their relationship. The novel suggests that even in a world of predetermined fates, small rebellions matter. When Hana tells Keishin the story of Urashima Taro, who visited an underwater palace and returned to find centuries had passed, she omits the ending. Later, when Keishin asks her to finish it, she reveals that when Taro opened the princess's box, all his years caught up with him and he instantly grew old. This story parallels their own impossible situation. Crossing between worlds has consequences, and time cannot be cheated forever. While exploring the concept of fate, Water Moon simultaneously examines the paralyzing power of regret. The pawn shop exists because regret is such a universal burden that people would trade pieces of their souls for relief. Clients like Takeda Izumi visit the ramen restaurant annually as a ritual to mourn what might have been, living a life of forced smiles despite having every reason to be happy. This theme manifests physically in the night market, which sells items that have fallen through cracks between worlds: pens, eyeglasses, keys, and mismatched socks. These lost objects represent moments of inattention and carelessness that accumulate into regret. Similarly, the train station where people camp indefinitely, waiting for trains that may never come, symbolizes the limbo of indecision and missed opportunities. The most poignant exploration of regret comes through the revelation about Hana's mother, Chiyo. We learn she stole a choice from the vault, a crime punishable by death. However, the Shikuin decided death was more than you deserve and subjected her to a punishment more fitting of your crime. This punishment turns out to be a life sentence where she would be tormented by constant reminders of the daughter she left behind, caring for soulless children underground while her memory of Hana remains frozen in time. Keishin understands this punishment through his own experience with his stepmother after his father's death, the pain of living with the perfect likeness of a mother going through the motions. This connection between personal history and fantastical punishment gives emotional weight to the novel's supernatural elements. The novel suggests that regret itself is a prison we construct. When Fumiko shares her experience raising her sister's children, lamenting that there is no greater misery than holding in your arms something that you know is not truly yours, she articulates how longing becomes a life sentence. This insight helps Keishin understand Chiyo's punishment and, ultimately, his own relationship with regret. What distinguishes Water Moon from typical fantasy is its integration of quantum physics with magical elements. As a physicist studying neutrinos at the Super Kamiokande detector, Keishin brings scientific perspective to Hana's magical world. When confronted with impossible phenomena, he processes them through the lens of scientific inquiry, viewing their journey as one of the simplest experiments he's ever conducted. This scientific framework provides a unique entry point into the fantasy. When trying to understand the ransacked pawn shop, Keishin recalls how scientists solved the mystery of missing solar neutrinos by discovering they had simply changed form, a masquerade. This insight helps him see the careful staging of the apparent chaos. The Super Kamiokande detector itself becomes a pivotal setting, a massive underground tank lined with thousands of light-detecting tubes designed to capture neutrinos, nearly massless subatomic particles that rarely interact with matter. This real scientific installation serves as both literal and metaphorical bridge between worlds. When Hana and Keishin need to escape the Shikuin, they hide in this detector where the water slowly dissolves the creature's metal parts. The novel suggests that what we call magic might simply be science we don't yet understand. When Keishin witnesses puddle portals and speaking candles, he struggles to reconcile these experiences with his scientific worldview. Yet the novel implies that both perspectives contain truth, that the boundaries between worlds might be explained through quantum mechanics and multiple dimensions. This integration of science and fantasy elevates the love story between Hana and Keishin. Their connection transcends not just cultural differences, but the very laws of physics and magic that govern their respective worlds. When Keishin mentally transforms their fairy room into the Super Kamiokande detector, a place of scientific wonder, Hana kisses him twice, the first as an experiment, the second as a genuine choice. This moment perfectly encapsulates how the novel blends rational inquiry with emotional discovery. As Hana and Kishin's journey progresses, their growing feelings for each other create an impossible dilemma. Hana is betrothed to Haruto and bound by duty to the pawn shop. Kishin belongs to another world entirely. Their love represents a deviation from predetermined fate, a choice that threatens the very foundation of Hana's world. The novel explores how love demands sacrifice. We learn that Toshio sacrificed part of his own soul to save Haruto, leaving a massive scar covering his back. Haruto later agrees to pay the devastating price of losing all memories of Hana in exchange for healed hands. With only 1 year left to live, according to the Harishi's incomplete ink, he chooses to spend it without the pain of longing for her. The most wrenching sacrifice comes when Hana initially plans to trade Kishin to the Shikuin to save her family. Through her mother's special glasses, she recognized him as the brightest choice she had ever seen, a soul that could be traded to save those she loves. This betrayal cuts deeper because it mirrors the central function of the pawn shop itself, trading choices for temporary peace. Yet, in the crucial moment, Hana makes a different choice. As the Shipuin batter down the door, she takes Kishin's hand, declaring, "You will not be mine," choosing him over her duty. This reversal represents her first true exercise of free will, rejecting the system that has defined her existence. The sacrifices continue to the end. When two Shikuin pursue them to the Super Kamiokande detector, Hana tackles one of the creatures back into the water, where they both disappear beneath the reflection of 1,000 golden moons. This self-sacrifice completes her transformation from duty-bound pawn shopkeeper to autonomous individual willing to die for love. 5 years later, we learn Hana survived and made the ultimate sacrifice, tearing down the pawn shop and freeing her world from its self-imposed prison of traded choices. Using water saved in an amber bottle, she crossed over permanently to be with Kishin, abandoning her world entirely. The title Water Moon draws from the profound Japanese concept of suigetsu, the reflection of the moon on water's surface, something that appears tantalizingly real yet remains forever beyond our grasp. This metaphor weaves intricately throughout the novel, representing not just fleeting desires, but the fundamental human experience of yearning for that which seems attainable yet proves elusive. For Toshio, the water moon manifests in his nightly encounters with Chiyo at the Midnight Bridge. These dreamscape meetings feel viscerally real. He can smell her cherry blossom perfume, hear the silk rustle of her yukata, yet each time he reaches for her, she dissolves like morning mist. His grief transforms into an obsession with the pawn shop's promise of trading memories, believing he can somehow preserve these phantom encounters. Kishin's water moon takes the form of Hana, a woman who exists between worlds. Though he can trace the intricate patterns of her tattoos and feel the warmth of her hand in his, she remains fundamentally unreachable, bound by ancient laws and modern physics that place her just beyond his reach. Their stolen moments in the ramen shop's back room become increasingly precious precisely because of their impermanence. For Hana herself, the water moon represents an impossible freedom. Despite her extraordinary abilities, walking through walls, bending time, she remains trapped by the elaborate tattoos that map out her predetermined path. Each marking tells a story she didn't choose, yet must live out. Her rebellion against this fate drives the novel's central conflict. The Super Kamiokande detector serves as the perfect physical manifestation of this metaphor. Its massive chamber, lined with 11,146 photomultiplier tubes, creating golden moons reflected in 50,000 tons of ultra-pure water. This setting becomes more than mere backdrop during the climactic scene, where Hana sacrifices herself beneath the reflection of 1,000 golden moons, each one representing a choice, a memory, a possibility that can be seen but never truly held. The concept extends deeper into memory and regret as the story progresses. Kishin's daily pilgrimages to the ramen restaurant after Hana's disappearance become a ritual of hopeless reaching. He orders the same spicy miso ramen, sits at the same worn counter, waiting for a ghost who never appears. Dream Hana's words cut through his denial with brutal clarity. "Stop looking for me, Ki. I live in your past. You can line up at the restaurant all you want, but yesterday has no door." The novel ultimately suggests that while our regrets and missed opportunities may seem as real as our reflection in water, they remain equally impossible to grasp or alter. The pawn shop's premise, trading away painful choices for peace of mind, offers only illusion. True healing, the story argues, comes through acceptance and the courage to move forward. This philosophical foundation makes the novel's resolution particularly satisfying. When Hana returns to Keishin 5 years later, it's not through supernatural manipulation, but through their shared determination to dismantle the very system that forced their separation, proving that some afflictions, with enough persistence, can become real. In the novel's final chapter, Keishin reflects on how small choices shape our lives while shopping for instant ramen. This seemingly mundane moment brings the story full circle. He first met Hana after choosing between spicy pork or chicken ramen, and now he contemplates similar choices while unknowingly about to reunite with her. This circularity emphasizes the novel's central insight. Seemingly insignificant decisions can alter everything. We see this through Takeda Izumi's story. Her choice whether to board a bus to meet her boyfriend Junichiro or pursue her dream of opening a flower shop determined not just her future, but Keishin's existence, as we learn she is actually his mother. The novel's structure reinforces this theme through nested stories and interconnected fates. The choice Chayo stole from the vault was meant to be Haruto's soul. Toshio's sacrifice gave Haruto enough life to live 1 year with Hana. Haruto's name was written on Hana's skin, binding their fates together. These connections create a complex web where one person's choice ripples outward to affect countless others. Yet, the novel ultimately affirms our agency within these ripples. When Hana and Keishin reunite after 5 years apart, they decide to start fresh, with a few allowances for small white lies. This ending acknowledges that perfect honesty and perfect choices aren't the point. What matters is the freedom to choose at all, even imperfectly. As they run laughing into the rain, finally belonging to each other, we understand that belonging doesn't mean possession or fate, but mutual choice. The water moon, that elusive reflection, has finally been grasped, not through magic or manipulation of time, but through the most human of powers, the decision to love despite uncertainty, to choose each other again and again in the face of an unpredictable future. Water Moon concludes with a powerful message about new beginnings. After years of separation, Hana and Keishin's reunion in a convenience store mirrors their first meeting. He accidentally steps on her foot, creating a moment of recognition that bridges worlds. This time, however, there are no magical pawn shops or predetermined fates, just two people choosing each other. Hana explains she tore down the pawn shop, freeing her world from its self-imposed prison of traded choices. This revolutionary act transformed not just her life, but her entire reality. By rejecting the parasitic relationship between worlds, where one feeds on the regrets and souls of the other, she created the possibility for genuine connection based on choice rather than obligation. This ending resonates because it doesn't erase the journey's difficulties or suggest that love conquers all without cost. Hana had to dismantle an entire system to create this new beginning. Keishin had to endure years of uncertainty and grief. Their reunion isn't a magical solution, but the hard-won result of growth and change. The novel's dedication, "For everyone in search of new beginnings," takes on deeper meaning in this light. New beginnings aren't granted, they're created through difficult choices and sometimes painful sacrifices. The Japanese proverb that introduces the final section, "Fall 7 times, stand up 8," reinforces this theme of resilience through adversity. What makes this ending so satisfying is how it honors both worlds without diminishing either. science and magic, duty and choice, predetermined fate and free will, these aren't presented as opposing forces, but as complementary perspectives that together create a more complete understanding of human experience. The physicist and the pawn shopkeeper find common ground not by abandoning their worldviews, but by expanding them to include each other. As they run laughing into the rain, we're reminded that beginnings are always possible, even after profound loss and separation. The water moon, that impossible reflection, becomes attainable not through magical manipulation, but through the most human of powers, the courage to choose differently than before, to rewrite our stories, not by erasing the past, but by creating a new future, one choice at a time.